Going back to the first section of chapter 18, again, we're looking at a geographic region right now. Okay? Aaron, tune in here. The reason we do that, instead of just looking at North America or South America or Africa, the reason that your book breaks down the world into different regions where we're combining different continents together is that they're looking for areas that have similar characteristics. It could be a similar physical environment, natural environment. It could be similar culture. It could be similar religion. It could be a lot of different things, but they're looking for similar characteristics. Okay, so when they group together North Africa, the Middle East, Central Asia, they're looking for those similar characteristics. And you'll see what they are as we go through. Okay, so North Africa is the first section they start looking at. This links really well in with Jared Diamond, because when we start out with Jared Diamond, we're looking at the Middle East. When people leave the Middle East, they end up in North Africa. So this links and ties in really well. Some of the earliest civilizations start off in North Africa. So the earliest civilizations altogether, of course, are the Middle East, going back about 13,000 years, right? The first farming starts about 11,000 years ago. Okay, they sustain for a while, and then over time, the environment starts to break down. The Middle East is just a little bit too dry. It's too fragile of an environment, so eventually people have to move out of the Middle East. And where do they go? They go where you can walk to. They either go into North Africa, or they head north and up into Europe, or they spread east across Asia. And if you look back at the big map, looking at all of human history, if we can go back, the earliest human remains we find, and I think I've talked about this, but the earliest human remains we find are in right about here in Africa. So theoretically, at one time, if you go back about 3 million years, the earliest human remains found, they even nicknamed the remains Lucy, were found in Ethiopia going back 3.2 million years. The first human remains that have been found are dated back that far. Okay. So theoretically, at one point in human history, going back about 3 million years, this was the only place right here where humans existed. Over time, they spread out, they migrate, they follow game herds, they follow sources of food. Okay, they spread out to find new and better food sources. They spread out, they spread into North Africa, they spread into the Middle East, they spread up into Europe, and then across Asia. So, have you guys heard about the land bridge theory? The idea that people get to North America by crossing over a land bridge? Okay. The last ice age was about 14,000 years ago. So if you went across Asia here, you would run into the Pacific Ocean before you got to Alaska. Okay. You would run into some water. But about 14,000 years ago, this was all ice right here. And the theory goes that people were following game herds, they were following supposedly mammoth herds, and that as they migrated across Asia and they get to the body of water, what would have been water, okay, they cross over the ice here and they come down through Alaska, down through Canada, and into the Americas. The earliest human remains that we find in North America go back about 14,000 years. Okay. Now there are some other theories, one theory called Kon-Tiki, that people took boats from an area kind of around Australia and took boats and eventually made their way across to South America. But either way, we probably don't go farther back than about 15 to 20,000 years having people occupying the Americas compared to about 3 million in Africa. So people have been in Africa for a much longer time. So we have a lot of tradition, a lot of heritage in that area. Okay. Looking at population patterns, this means where do people go, where do they spread to, where do they migrate, how do they change. Obviously, people don't always stay in one place. A lot of you are not even from Aberdeen. Okay, so geographers are always going to be paying attention to not only where do people settle, but also where do they move to, where do they leave. Now, today, a lot of people would move from place to place looking for new, better jobs, better paying jobs. Okay. Historically, people were probably looking for better food sources. They were looking for places with more water that just had a better quality of life. Okay, but they're always paying attention to where people are moving to. The two main cultures, the two main ethnic groups that we're going to run into in Africa are the native people, or the indigenous people of North Africa, that have, you know, from the time of the kind of those earliest ancestors that we find going back millions of years, migrated into North Africa and have been there a long time. That's one of the main ethnic groups, kind of the indigenous people of North Africa. You also have people, okay, that, again, going back hundreds of thousands, even millions of years, kind of went on over, settled in either the Middle East or up into Europe, into those areas, farmed, and then eventually, much more recently, going back only a couple of thousand years, made their way back into North Africa. Okay, and these people we call Arab people because they come from the Arabian Peninsula. Right? That big hunk of land in between Africa and Europe. All right, so the two main ethnic groups are going to be the indigenous people of North Africa and also the people coming from the Arabian Peninsula. Okay. So we get this mix of people together. The indigenous people of North Africa we call the Berbers. Okay. Primarily farmers today. They're going to settle a lot around the coastal areas where you get a little bit better better soil, better resources for farming. Okay. If you go back a little bit farther, as they come across North Africa, many of them are forced into having to be both nomadic and also having to raise animals in North Africa. Why would that be? North Africa is really dry, right? The Sahara, we studied the physical features, the Sahara Desert comes up almost up to the northern area where you hit the Mediterranean Sea. Most of North Africa is very, very dry, so there's not a lot of great farmland. Okay, so a lot of people, in order to make a living, in order to have a good food source, what they did have is they had some grasslands, you know, some vegetation. So you kind of, an economy is basically you, whatever natural resources you have, you use those to meet your needs. Okay, so if you have some grass, you have some open grasslands, a lot of those people were using those resources to graze animals. Okay? Now, historically, when you didn't have private property, you would move from place to place with your animals. You would move from place to place, you'd be nomadic. You know, when your animals went along, you had, say you had 100 animals of some sort. As they kind of munch up an area of land, you would move to another place. So these people were nomadic people, okay, raising their animals. So the Berbers are the indigenous people of North Africa. The other main ethnic group we just talked about, the Arab people. Most of them, they start to come back into North Africa about 6,000 years ago. Again, there's a breakdown in the environment of the Middle East. Eventually it becomes pretty difficult to live there. People start heading into different areas. But they bring their domestic animals, they bring their knowledge of farming that they've created, they've become very successful with farming. They bring that information into Egypt, and that's where we get the great Egyptian civilizations. The people of the Middle East, migrating out of that area, bringing all that information, all those resources, their domestic animals with them, they now know how to carry on really productive agriculture. They come in and they settle around the Nile River. Okay. Longest river in the world. They settle around the Nile River. Pretty lush there. They carry on good farming. Okay. And there's just a population boom. Their population rises. They're able to feed all their people. And their civilization takes off. Become a very advanced civilization. Over time, the Egyptian civilization kind of rises and falls, like a lot of different civilizations do throughout history. And eventually people spread off from the Nile River and they spread across North Africa. And a lot of them take up a very similar lifestyle to what we were talking about with the Berbers. Grazing animals from place to place. Okay. Not settling in dense populations anymore, but being nomadic. Okay. These people, the Arabic speaking people that are doing this and are spreading across North Africa, we call the Bedouin. The Bedouin people. And starting about the 600, so go past the birth of Christ, go past, we're only talking about going back about 1400 years now, much more recently, these people of Arab descent are spreading across North Africa. Okay. And typically living in a nomadic lifestyle and grazing animals. Looking at the people and some of the effects on the people that live in North Africa, if you look at the proximity of where North Africa is at, and you think about any place that has constant contact with other places, you're going to have kind of a mingling of cultures. And what North Africa has is it's influenced by Arabian culture, people coming back from the Arabian Peninsula. It's also influenced quite a bit from European culture. Okay? Because look, I mean, we studied the Strait of Gibraltar, right? Look at how close Spain is to Morocco. It's just a narrow strip of water in between. Therefore, there's a lot of access, a lot of contact between Europe and North Africa. Okay? So we get all kinds of different influences on the people of North Africa, different cultural influences coming in. Some of the main ones we talk about, the French, the Spanish, and the Romans, they all have, throughout history, a big impact on the culture of North Africa. Much more recently, going back only a couple hundred years, North Africa doesn't advance technologically in the same way that Europe does. Okay. So much as we're studying in guns, germs, and steel, you have situations where you have advanced peoples that come in and they take over North Africa. And a lot of European countries come in and they colonize. And they take over. And they start just kind of slicing and dicing North Africa. Okay. And that's why you get those straight line boundaries. And you might have caught that in your reading. They're called geometric boundaries. They're those straight line boundaries. Very different than what you see in a lot of places. A lot of places you'll see boundaries based upon rivers, based upon mountains, based upon natural boundaries. These geometric boundaries had to do with European countries coming in, like the British, and just basically saying, okay, we have all this territory, let's slice it up into different countries, into different colonies. Okay. Now, that can create a problem at times when you have those geometric boundaries and you have people such as the Europeans coming in and not really understanding the land. Because it'd be very similar to, for example, people from Canada coming and moving into Aberdeen. And they take a big line. Remember, boundaries are imaginary. There's nothing actually there, right?
Except for maybe a sign.
All right. So these people from Canada, but you know what I'm saying. If you go over to the Minnesota border, it's not like there's a line in the sand, right? There's not a line in the sand. If you go to the South Dakota and Montana border, there's not a line in the sand.
There is no South Dakota and Montana.
Huh?
There is no South Dakota Montana border.
There's no border?
There's no South Dakota Montana border. Because Montana is not next to South Dakota.
Does it not intersect? Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it connects.
Wait. Somewhere.
Let's look up. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think if you take I-90 across Chamberlain. You might cut the corner of Wyoming. I think you go straight into Montana, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that. Because when I was in college, I worked in Yellowstone, so I drove from the Twin Cities all the way over into Livingston, Montana, and then dropped down into Yellowstone. So yeah, I drove all across I-90 and into there. So yeah, there. Yep. I thought I was right on that.
Yeah, Nate.
It's okay. It's all right. Anyway, back to geometric boundaries really quickly. And I know I'm running out of time here. Okay. But I want to make this one final point. Why are geometric boundaries bad? Okay. Comes from the European colonists. They come in, they start slicing and dicing North Africa. Why is that bad? Here's my analogy. Okay. People come in, say, for example, from Canada. They don't really understand the area. They don't understand the culture of Aberdeen. And they draw a line right down the middle of Aberdeen. And you have your grandparents live on the east side of Aberdeen. for example, and you live on the west side of Aberdeen, and the Canadian government comes in and they slice Aberdeen right in half, okay? And they say, this over here on the eastern side of Aberdeen is going to be a separate country. Okay, and this over here on the western side of Aberdeen is going to be a separate country. Okay? And now because we're divided by a country border, you can't go back and forth anymore. Wouldn't that be a little bit of a bummer?
Yeah.
Okay, all of a sudden your family is divided. Okay. So we get all kinds of conflicts drawn up by the European governments that come in. They don't really understand the territory. They don't understand the culture of the area. Okay? That's all right. I'll pick up with that a little bit later on. I'm going to stop there for now because we are running out of time.